First of all, thank you very much for the introduction. And first of all, I'd like to apologize to our American audience over here that I speak with a British accent. I'll never forget that I was lecturing in the United States some years ago, and I was talking about Schmitter, and I mentioned over there that when I made Aliyah from London to Eretz Yisrael, which is 45 years ago, I said I was absolutely shocked to see and this made everybody go like this, yeah, I see that tomatoes were this big. When they heard the words tomatoes and not tomatoes, yeah, you ought to have seen the audience. Oh, tomatoes.
If anyone can hear, please feel free to bring
can,
the
kind of a bit closer.
To the side, yeah.
It's okay, we'll get it. Well, Sam, you've come over here, you're learning Torah. Basically, what you're learning is the Dvar Hashem. The Torah Shebaal Peh, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. We're sitting and learning over here. We're learning the concept of Kaviyachol, thinking like the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is what Torah is all about. That's why I want to talk to you about a simple concept, a very simple concept, which lecturing to non-religious people, I lecture in the Tshuva movement, I ask them a question. We have over here, at Maimed Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave out to Am Yisrael the Aseres HaDibros. When you read the Aseres HaDibros, any secular person will say, I don't know what you want from me. I honor my parents. I've never murdered anybody. I don't steal. I don't commit adultery. That I don't believe in, but doesn't matter. Yeah. And I haven't perjured myself in court. So what's the big deal here? The Ten Commandments. What's the big deal? Secondly, he asks me a question. And he says this to me. He says, Rabbi, do you give charity? I said, yes, of course. Best as I can, of course I do. He said, why do you give it? Why do you give charity? I said, because the Torah commands me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me in one of the Tariag mitzvahs, that he commanded me to give charity. And if you don't give, how do you feel then? I know that one day I'll have to pay the price. So he says, look at yourself. You give charity because of the fear of punishment. He says, I give charity. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the Ten Commandments. But I give charity, why? Because my conscience dictates my actions. The conscience tells me, help somebody else. What do you answer to such a person? Who is the better person? The person who does it through fear, or the person who does it because his conscience dictates his actions? And what would you say? The first one who does it through fear, he's the better person. If he does it just because, oh, yo. What? He's all this secular Jew is also chayev. He's a Jew, but he does it because my conscience dictates my actions. Well, don't want to go because I don't want to be here all night. The answer is, I have more faith in the person who does it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to do it. Because a person who does something because his conscience dictates his actions, his conscience also decides the parameters of when does he have to give. In other words, he is subjective to when he should have to give. And his parameters are narrow. We will see that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us what we have to do, how wide the parameters are. It's subjective, his feelings. And I'll tell you a story that happened. A lecturer in the United States of America told me he did an experiment. You know, experiment, it's a... of a class in the United States in, I think it was in Los Angeles. And he told me the experiment that he did. It seems, I didn't know this, but it seems that most families in the United States have dogs in the family. They have dogs. The class he had, all of them had a puppy or a dog or a pet in the house. Right. He asked them a question. I want to ask you this question. If your dog was drowning, and a human being was drowning, and you could jump in and save one, who would you save? 30% of the class said the human being, 30% of the class said the dog, and 30% of the class said, questions too difficult to answer right now, I have to think about it. In other words, he's saying, he told me, and he said he asked them, a human being is drowning, and your dog is drowning. Is it a question about who you have to save? You can only save one. And what was the answer? The answer of all of them. You know what they said? I love my dog. I don't love this stranger. You see what happens when people make their own decisions in life? How their feelings decide what is the right thing to do. We don't have feelings. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what am I supposed to do? And through what you're learning, you find out what you're supposed to do. I'll give you an example that happened in my family. It'll need a bit of explanation too. When my elder son got married, he married the daughter of Rabbi Cook, who was the rabbi of Ramat Gan. And 3 days before the wedding, we decided to meet 9:30 in the morning at the hall where we're going to have the wedding to make the final arrangements with the hall. I've been trained to be on time. That 9:30 is 9:30. My father learnt in Telz in Lithuania, which had the chinuch of Telim, that zman is zman, time is time. I arrived at 9:30, 9:45, 9:50, 9:55, 9:00. I pick up the phone, no answer. I come back home. I was startled. What? Okay. I was listening to the news at 1:00 in the afternoon, and they spoke about an Orthodox Jew who was davening at the kever, the burial place of the Rambam, up north, and a secular Jew slit his throat and murdered him. So I said to my wife, aha, now I know where what happened. Now I know what happened. I'll explain. At 10 o'clock at night, I get a phone call from Rabbi Cook. He says, Reb David, I apologize. I couldn't. I said, it's okay, you don't have to apologize. I know you were up north today, weren't you? He says, yeah, how did you know? I said, I heard about it on the radio. What, they mentioned my name on the radio? I said, no, it didn't mention the story. What I have to explain to you over here is this, that here in this country, we have a problem with autopsies. And many times, after autopsies, they take parts of the body and put it into a bank. And as we know, our Torah commands us that when a person dies, we have to bury him with everything he has. And Rabbi Cook is a genius in coming to court and bringing about that there should be no autopsies and bury this person who was murdered, and that's it. What do they want to find out? They'll do an autopsy to find out if he had a heart attack before they slit his throat. Anyway, whatever happens, everything worked out well. The judge said, the moment Rabbi Cook walked into the courtroom, he said, "Aha, Rabbi Cook, you're here." So he said, "Sign it over here, burial straight away." The next morning we met at 9:30, and I said to Rabbi Cook, "Baruch Hashem, everything worked out well." I said to him, "I want to ask you something. What would happen if you were standing under the chuppah with your daughter Esti and my son, and you get a phone call? Please, there was a road accident. They want to take an Orthodox Jew. He was killed, and they want to take him to do an autopsy. What would you do? You're standing under the chuppah with your daughter." He said, I'll tell you the truth. I'm a father. I'm a normal human being. I switch off my cell phone. I switch it off." I said, "And what would happen if you forgot to switch off your cell phone and that happened? What would you do?" He said, "You know what I would do?" He said, "Where in Shulchan Aruch does it say that a father has to stand under the chuppah with his daughter? Does he have to? Does he have to? No. But I'll show you where in Shulchan Aruch it says for a mes mitzvah, you have to do everything." I would say to my daughter, Esti, it should be b'shor teva u'mutzlachas. You should build a bias neman b'yisrael, but I'm sorry, I have something more important to do. That's what happens when a person thinks, like when you pray b'shalaylam, to a person whose conscience dictates his actions. Coming back now, let's come back to the Aseres HaDibros. Moshe Lemoha Dover Zedoma. To give a moshel to this. I won't talk about the British Prime Minister, I'll talk about the American President of the United States. You see, because I'm making a joke about him, I don't want to make a joke about the British Prime Minister. Don't worry, I'm just joking. Yeah. I want to tell you this. What would happen? You're sitting in New York, 8 o'clock in the morning, you're listening to the news. News, general news, nothing important. And then suddenly we're in the middle of the news. We're told, the newsreader says, "I've just got a message, we're going over to the White House for an announcement from the White House." The announcement is, and we hear, that the President of the United States of America will be speaking to the nation at 9 o'clock tonight. To the whole nation. And you go back. That's it. An announcement from the White House. When does the President and I speak to the whole nation? I can imagine during the whole day there will be speculations about what he's going to be talking about and this and is it with the Arabs? Is it something very important here? Okay. Everybody's waiting, 9 o'clock at night, everybody is listening in the streets, in the cars, in everything, to what the President of the United States. He stands there, and he says, "Citizens of the United States of America, I want to tell you that in a month's time, the winter is beginning in the United States. It'll be raining. It'll be stormy. The weather is getting much colder. So I want to ask of you that people who become sick and don't go to work causes a loss of money to the United States. So I'm asking you that when it rains, use an umbrella. Don't walk in the street with sandals. Walk with boots. Don't get your feet wet. When you're driving your car on a rainy day, be careful your car can skid. Drive slower. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. What? For this you put a whole country on pressure from 8 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night to tell me when it's raining use an umbrella? And keep yourself warm and don't get a cold? What would you say about the President of the United States? I think he needs psychiatric treatment. Things are obvious. And you have to put the whole country under pressure from 8 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night to tell him, use an umbrella and wear a warm coat and drive slower when you're driving on a wet road? Who doesn't know it? This is the question that you can ask. Am Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim. They stood at Mount Sinai. Fire came out of the heavens. Colossus of rocking. And you hear the beginning, you hear the actual voice, Kabayochel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what does he say to you? Does he say to you not to wear shatnas? Does he say to you not to eat basar v'chalav? He says, Kabayed es avicha v'simecha. Big deal. Who doesn't? Who doesn't respect his parents? Loi tiknoiv. Loi sirtzach. Loi sinav. Things are obvious. You understand the question? We want to hear something big. Most probably they were expecting to hear something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Zohar, Kabbalah, about Olam Habo, Hashoras HaNefesh, Tchias HaMeisim, the big things that we don't know about. No. Simple things. But obvious. This is a moshul, if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Dessler brings, not that I've expanded on the moshul. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanting from us? The answer is, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Kabeid es avicha v'simecha, he's not talking on the human level. On the human level, I don't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell me. Kabbidus Avicha Vesimecha is talking on the wider, much wider aspect of what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants in honoring our parents. Says the Rambam, Av Heichon Kibud Av Va'ein. To what point does a person have to be Mechabed his parents? Soon come back to it. A person that a Jewish home, in a Torah home. Daddy sits at the top of the table. Mummy sits at the other side of the table. Will his child, with a proper chinuch, will he sit on the seat where daddy sits at the top of the table? No. What's the big deal? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that. This is Kibud Av Va'Em. Says the Rambam, at Heichon Kibud Av Va'Em. What would you say about a person who's standing up for the first time and he has an opportunity to speak to the Knesset? He's standing over here, microphone, and he's talking. It's the first time. He wants to make an impression that maybe one day Chas V'Sholom will be the Prime Minister. But once, maybe, he wants to make an impression, speaking, he's discussed how to speak with actors and things like that, body language, etc., etc. While he's talking, his father walks in from a side door, goes up onto the rostrum, slaps him in the face, spits him in the face, takes a knife and cuts his trousers down from top to bottom. I'm sorry, his pants. Sorry. From top to bottom. What would you expect a child, a son to say that. His father's put him in front of the cameras, he'll be news. He's been made a joke of by his father. Most probably, if he's a tzaddik, he'll say these words: "Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for what you have seen, but my father is, he has brain damage. He's a very sick man. So excuse me for one moment." He says, "Daddy, come with me. Go down the stairs. Call security. So take him out and give him a cup of coffee." What would you say about such a son who did this? I would say he was a tzaddik. How much self-control did that bring about? And he didn't stand in front of the cameras and say, "Daddy, what the heck are you doing to me?" You know the halacha? The Rambam says in Hilchas Kibud Av Va'Em, "Ad heichon kibud av va'em, hoya oymed lifnei atzibur." Do I have to translate, or you understand what I'm saying? "Hoya oymed lifnei atzibur, v'nichnas ovi, v'yorek befonov, spits him in the face, koreis b'godov." What are you supposed to do? Do you know the answer, what the Rambam says? Shtok! Be absolutely silent. Don't say a word. Ki kach tzivo melech malchei hamlochim hakodesh poroch. How much self-control do you need for that? A completely different area. How wide it is. This is what you call Torah ethics. This is what you call Torah values, not human values. This is Kibud Av Va'Em. And without it, we would be respecting our parents exactly the way human beings, the way our conscience dictates our actions. Gentlemen, give me a very simple definition, you tell me, of what is theft. A simple definition in a few words. Taking something from somebody else which doesn't belong to you. Correct? That is theft. But where does theft begin and where does it end? What would you say about such a story? Two secretaries are working in an office. Leah and Hannah. Hannah goes out to make herself a cup of coffee. Leah is sitting down writing something. She makes a mistake. She takes Hannah's whiteout. How do you call it whiteout? In this country you call it Tippex. Yeah? Yeah, little drops of what?
Tippex.
Tippex, oh, yeah. Takes a drop. Bloop, puts it back. And puts it back. Hannah walks in after her cup of coffee and notices that the Tippex moved. She said, "The Tippex was there. What are you doing over here?" Hannah, I made a mistake, so I took one drop of your Tippex. And Hannah picks herself up, calls the police if they could come round. And he comes round. And he says, "What happened?" He says, "I want you to arrest her for theft." "What did she steal?" "A drop of Tippex." "Excuse me, madam?" "A drop of Tippex." "Madam, a whole bottle of Tippex with 2,000 drops in it only costs 4 shekel." "She took something. That's what theft is. She took something belonging to me without my permission. Arrest her." "Will they arrest her?" "No." "Why not?" "Why not?" We have no idea the parameters of the idea of what it means not to touch somebody else's property. Not even to use his biro to write down something. You have to ask for permission. Your oivon lo sigma. True, I think you've learnt enough, maybe you'll learn, that since that one drop of Tippex is pochus mishovel pruta, she doesn't have to pay. But Gnova there is. To touch something belonging to somebody else. The Bali Musa was so particular about such things. Not to touch another person's property. What would you say about a person? Imagine you had some guests who came to you for Motzi Shabbos, from a lover Malka, some friends came. They came in and they brought your present, or brought Daddy and Mummy, yeah? A nice vase with some flowers inside it. Yeah. What do we say to them? Who said you have to bring us a vase? We invited you from a lover Malka. We didn't invite you to give us presents. Right. Glad to give you something. Fine, very good. The next day you wonder, no, that we didn't ask for it, but I'd like to know, how much did they spend on that vase? How much am I worth in their eyes? You're passing by a shop, a glassware shop, which you happen, and you see that very same vase in the window. And you walk inside and you say, excuse me, sir, can't you tell me how much that vase, the third one on the left, Shama, over there? She said, oh, that's it's made in Germany, it's crystal glass, it's 450 shekel. 450 shekel? They paid out for us? Wow, they really feel we're somebody. They said, no. Sorry, it's not for me. And you walk out. Everything's fine? What? Exactly. This is called Gnevas Das. If you want to buy, then walk into 20 shops and find out where you get the thing cheaper. But if you have no intention to buy, but you want to know the price, you walk in and say, excuse me, sir, I have no intention of buying it, but it just interests me to know how much that vase costs. That's fine. So if he's a nice guy, he'll tell you the price. And if not a nice guy, says, you don't want to buy, I don't want to tell you. You understand over here? The deal of what it means to take something from somebody else. If this by law could be arrested for what he was doing. Rabbi Saul Salanter says, Rabbi Saul Salanter says that there's one type of gneva you can never pay back in this world. What you've stolen. You'll only pay back in the next world. And you know what that is? Sleep. If you steal sleep from a person. You're playing rap music on a hot night. Windows are open. Boom, boom, boom. Whoa, 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 whoa. And a child across the road says, Mummy, I can't sleep. The noise. How do you pay that back? With the vase, you can buy a vase. You want to do tshuva for that theft? Buy a vase. You feel that you've stolen the Tippex? Give a whole bottle of Tippex back, not for that one drop. You can return it. But there's one thing you can never return. Sleep you can never return. How much we have to be makbid at night, in dormitories, not to make a noise when somebody wants to sleep. Look at the parameters of what a signoiv is when Torah demands what we're allowed to do and what we're not allowed to do. I asked, I remember, I live in Bnei Brak, and it was several years ago. I was walking along the sidewalk to the English guy's pavement, right? I was walking along the road, and I passed a public telephone. There were two telephones over there on the sidewalk. I saw something like nobody stood at one of them, and there was a queue of about five people waiting to use the telephone, the second telephone. And somebody who was standing in line, I recognized, I know him. I said to him, Moshele, what are you doing over here? Go to the second... Why, the second telephone doesn't work? He says, no, the second telephone works. This one doesn't work. meaning that if you put the coin in, you can speak to Australia for half an hour on 1 cent. Why get stuck? The coin gets stuck. And so you can talk. So everybody's doing their international calls from this telephone. I told him, don't you feel you're stealing from Bezeq? Bezeq is the Israeli telephone system. You see, I'm stealing from Bezeq? How much Bezeq is stealing from me? I want them to do tshuva, and I want them to pay me back what they owe me. You see, who knows? The rabbi of Orachim, Yerucham, Rabbi Krauss, family, wrote a book on these concepts. And he says, how much a person will have to give a din v'cheshbon in the next world for what? You wouldn't believe it. It's called double parking. You know what double parking is? Cars are parked by the side of the road. You want to go and buy something in a shop. You close off a line. So the car that comes behind you, has to go around you to carry on. You're stealing time from him. You're stealing petroleum from him. Because he has to put his foot on the gas to go round, to overtake. He says, this is what people have to pay. Who doesn't do it today? Okay, it's an offence. You can get a ticket if the police go by. But if the police don't go by, then all over. Second thing he says. He says that you're walking, I live in a four-story apartment. And there were four families on each floor. And he said, a person who does not put his name on the post box downstairs with the number of his apartment, with his name, will have to pay the price of gnevas zman, stealing time from a person, agmas nefesh, of feeling bad, because somebody wants to come and visit me, and my name is not on the post box. What did he have to do? He knocks on the first door and he says, excuse me, where does Rabbi Ordman live? Oh, Rabbi is on the second floor. He's on the second floor. In other words, you're stealing time from him, and you're making him feel uncomfortable that he has to knock on the door and says, excuse me, can you tell me, because his name is not on the post box, I don't know where he lives, etc., etc. You get the point? This is Gneva al Pitayim. These are the ethics of a Kodesh Baruch. And this is what you're learning Torah about. I was just thinking, a person sitting down and learning Baba Metzia. How many pages of Chazal are there about one issue? And what is that? Hashavas Aveidim. Hashavas Aveidim. The Proti. This is the beauty of thinking like the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is what Limud Torah is about. What would you call murder? Leitziotzach. Imagine two people. No, a group of people are sitting in a restaurant. They're having lunch. A whole lot of boys, girls, boys, let's say, talking. They're sitting down, having a nice time, and then somehow they discuss something of politics. Something in politics they're discussing. And while they're discussing the politics, Moshe there makes a statement. He says, I don't agree with you, I think Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet, something else. And the other guy, Yankele, looks at him and he says, Moshe, you're talking like an idiot. How can you think about such a thing? He was just now over on Lo Sirtzach. Hamalbin penei chaveiroi, barabim. A person who puts another person to shame, barabim ki'ilu roitzoi, ki'ilu noitzoi esnafshon. Takes away his, kills him. Are we particular about these things? How much, this is Lo Sirtzach. The Rambam says, And this is the one of the, how do you call it, one of the sources of anti-Semitism. The Germans used it, quoting the Rambam. What the Rambam says, Rambam says, Hagoinev pruta mechaveiroi. A person who steals one pruta. How much is a pruta today? Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Ki'ilu noiteles nafshoi. As if you've taken away his noshoma. What's he done? What's happened? What did I do? You murdered him. Says Rav Dessler, let's put this into our minds, how much we have to respect the property of our neighbor. Rav Dessler says this. The last of the Ten Commandments is Loisachmoy de Beisleyecho. Shoyoy vachamoyoy vacholashelereyecho. What is the, which middle, which character trait is involved in Loisachmoy? What is it? Kino. Kino. Do you want what the other guy's got? So he says, what's the, what is the chet over here? What is the chet? And he explains. He says, the chet is this. Everything a person has in this world, everything Kodesh Baruch Hu gives to him, from day one till day 120 years, he has to use it as an instrument of Avodas Hashem. It wasn't given to him just for nothing, but to use it for Avodas Hashem, to reach his spiritual goal. Therefore, if my next door neighbor has a car, he was given a car by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he needs that that car to reach his spiritual goal. I don't have a car means you don't need a car. Your spiritual goal is with the instruments which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. Do you understand? That's why a person, he says, a person who is over on Leisachmoid Beis Reyecho, you know what his chet is? The first of the Ten Commandments, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. You get the point? So in other words, if you take one pruta from a person, you've murdered him. He has now lost an instrument. He's lost an instrument to be used to reach his spiritual source. And that is murder. It's not easy to see it, but we have to understand how much we have to respect the rechush, the property of another person. And it doesn't matter. You've taken away his spiritual goal on planet Earth. And that's one of the reasons you should know how many times and how much is spoken about the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. I want to tell you something. There was an Israeli editor of the Ma'ariv newspaper. His name is, he's still alive, he's left the newspaper, an ultra-secular Jew. Ultra secular. And being the editor of the newspaper, gets going back 16, 17 years, he came to Bnei Brak because he wanted to interview Harav Shach, Zecher Tzadik, Bekodesh Livrach. He climbed the stairs up to the Beis HaMedrash, looked through the window of the Beis HaMedrash, saw over 1,000 students sitting and learning Torah, Mariska Doiraisa. He was waiting for somebody to come out so he could speak to him. And a bocha came out, wanted to make himself a drink, or he went to the restaurant. And the bocha says to us, excuse me, can I help you, sir? He says, yes, my name is Amnon Dankler. I'm from the Ma'ariv newspaper. He says, yes, what can I do for you? He said, I'd like to interview Rabbi Shach. He said, look, let me give you some advice. First of all, Rabbi Shach is not in the Beis HaMikdash today, number one. Number two, he's at home. Don't even try to get an interview from him at home, because he does not give interviews to the media of any kind, even the Orthodox. He doesn't give interviews. That, end of story. He left, but he said, he wrote an article. What do you mean he wrote an article? He didn't interview Rashad. What's there to write about? He said, I stood over there by the window. I saw something that told me that I left the world of Chulin into a world of Kedusha, of holiness. What did he see? What do you think he saw? If you'd asked me, I would have told you. Looking through the window and seeing 1,000 Talmidim sitting and learning Torah, because even for a secular Jew, it does make an impression. No. You know what he saw? He wrote. I saw the notice board. There's a very large notice board by the entrance. Half of the notice board was full of invitations to weddings. Bochrim, who were getting married, inviting their friends to come to the wedding. The other half, he says, this made an impression. Little pieces of paper, written words like this. 4 shirt buttons found. Loser will receive on identification room 203. Bic pen, one of these little pens, where you buy 50 of them for about 5 shekels. Cut money, you only use them once, right? Found, loser will receive upon identification room 93. Large sum of money found. Loser will receive upon identification room 12. Full. He says, I saw this, it blew my mind. He said, when I was in university, a person who found money tried to find out who lost it. Funny, they all find a hashgacha pratis when it comes to finding money. Even though you don't believe in God, you believe, aha, this is for me. Takes it himself. He said, it blew my mind. Hashavas Aveda. What's the Indian of Hashavas Aveda? These 4 shirt buttons were given to the person who lost that 4 shirt button as an instrument of Aveda Hashem with the shirt he was going to wear. And if you don't return it, he's lost. He's lost something. Not Chas V'Sholem lost everything. Lost something. That's why the Torah says he's so particular. And what happens if there is no simon? No simon, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu took it away from him, and now it becomes an instrument for your Aveda Hashem. This is the... I'll tell you something. Kefa, when you're learning over there, do any of you sit and learn by a stender? With a stender? Or you're sitting over here with tables? Oh. Just want to tell you something. What would you say about a person... who's sitting? Can you see me? Yeah. Who's sitting? He puts his gemara on a stender. He moves the stender towards himself, and he's looking back, and he's saying, "Shnayim oizim betadis, zayim bekulishalim." But he saw Salanta in his yeshiva. If he saw this, he walked by with his walking stick, and he would bang. The stender, just straighten it. Why? Tell me. What would you say? But everybody usually gives me the answer. Oh, I have to finish already. Everybody gives me the answer. You know what the answer is? You move towards the stender, the Gemara. Don't move the Gemara towards you. Correct? No? So why?
Trip.
What?
Trip.
What? He said, because you've just now produced the Bor B'Shus HaRamim. By moving the stender towards yourself, a person walking by, the legs are sticking up in the air, the back legs of the stender in the air walking by is a Bor B'Shus HaRamim. Who thinks about these things? I just want to enter you with this, that we should know this. And let's learn from it. Let's learn from history. 2 more minutes, okay? Let's learn from history. when we learn from history, and Amisrael still, unfortunately, hasn't learned that lesson. If I would ask you about all the galuyot that Amisrael went through, we've gone through galuyot. Galus. The first one was Mitzrayim, before Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, Bavel, Greece, Rome, Spain, Europe, the Golden Era, as it was called. And what we went through 70 years ago, Germany. If I would ask you a question, what is the connection between all the names I've just now mentioned? Again? They've all collapsed, yes, yes, that's it. Yes, sir? What? Absolutely, correct. That's it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never ever sent us to Golus into the jungles of the Congo or the Amazons. From primitive people, you don't expect more than primitive behavior. Mitzrayim, ethical, moral. Spain, Rome, Greece, Germany. Dankeschön, bitteschön. Thank you. Times. He has a shower four times a day. Nobody should feel it. Uncomfortable. These are people who are moral on the human level. And when you're moral on the human level, you're not worth the paper you're printed on. What you're capable of doing on the moral level. All of them. Am Yisrael. We live Torah. And this is what you're learning. You're connecting with the Ribbono Shel Olam through Torah. Torah ethics. The Ribbono Shel Olam is talking to us. What he sees. What is emes? What is emes? And that's how we should respect and learn and wonder and the beauty, but not only learn it, internalize it, and let it become our way of thinking, a way of living. I just want to end up with one small story about what is chesed. I read about it in the story in the book on the life of Reb Shneur Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rosh Hashiva of Lakewood. The story is, his driver tells this story. We were driving to Manhattan, where he had to speak at the Agudas Yisrael convention. And as we were going through Borough Park and Fort Hamilton Parkway, I know that area, I've been there several times, we passed a hotel and Rabbi Kotler said, "Oi, one of my Talmidim is getting married tonight. So if we're ready, I'm passing, I'd like to go in and say Mazel Tov. But I have to give a talk." He stopped the car. The Baron Kotler walks into the building. They were in the middle of the chuppah. He waited till the chuppah ended. After the chuppah ended, he went up to the chosnan, to the kallah, and he said, "Mazel tov, mazel tov, bilyan avei ad." And he said the parents, chosnan and the kallah. And then he walked into the reception room, sat down with the parents of the chosnan and the kallah, and they were talking and chatting, and the driver said, 20 minutes later, he said he's going for 2 minutes just to say Mazel Tov. 20 minutes later, the driver says, "I walked in, and I said to Rabbi," I didn't say to Rabbi Kotler, but I made a simon to Rabbi Kotler, "We have to go. People are waiting." He said, "Noch a minut, one more minute." A minute later, he comes out, and he says, gets into the car, and he said, "Let's move, we're late. He says, "Rebbe, I don't understand you. I don't understand you. You said you were going for 2 minutes. You were over there 20 minutes. Why?" This is what happens, how chesed, Torah demands of us to think about the other person. You know what he said? He said, if I would have walked in there 2 minutes and said mazel tov and walked out, what would the parents of the chosman kalah thought? You know, in our weddings, there's already the people who are going to make all the brachas under the chuppah already written down. L'chvoid ha-ravzeh, l'chvoid brocha shniya, brocha rishona, brocha shniya. You understand? Yeah? He said, if I would have walked out, what would they have thought? What would they have thought? That they insulted the Rosh Hashiva of Lakewood. He said, let 2,000 people wait! I will not ruin a Torah wedding! These people. That is thinking like the Ribbono Shel Olam. Thinking, what does the Ribbono Shel Olam want in us doing chesed? We're now at Erev Rosh Hashanah. Let's be mischazik in the little things. Things which don't demand absolute terms, but uplift ourselves in the little things. A chesed one with the other. A bit of tzedakah. I tell people, walk around in the streets with a few coins of a half a shekel. How much is a half a shekel? And you see a person sitting over there with a little box going chuk 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 like this. Put in a half a shekel. Stop it. These chizukim connecting with the Ribbono Shel Olam, connecting with the Aseres HaDibros, connecting with Maimed Har Sinai. This is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us. And if you'll be zeichet, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see that we are miskarev, we're coming closer to Himself, closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say these words, we're waiting for these words, enough is enough. And He'll bring us the Geula Shleimo, b'mheira v'yomeinu, Amen.
That's yours?
Yeah, my wife can call me.
Is it a good record?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.